Get ready. You're about to enter the Remzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one, the only Remzo Republic podcast, broadcasting to you from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia, coast to coast, every Wednesday and Saturday. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back for everyone that's been hanging out with us thus far. For new people, and, you know, I try and go at everything with this philosophy. Every episode is somebody's first episode, which means I get to go ahead and throw out my favorite tagline, because we've got one mission here, and that mission is very simple, extremely cheesy, kind of a knockoff, but ultra, ultra nerdy in a very basic sense. We have a very basic mission here. Let's make freedom fun again. I'm talking your ability to choose how you live your life as you see fit without hampering anyone else. That means you're not using government to hurt people or take their stuff. Very simple stuff. Think how easily we could get along if we did that. And that's what we're trying to do. Bring you the best conversations you're not going to get elsewhere. Welcome, welcome back, and thank you to those that are new that are joining us. So it's really easy to just do what a lot of other shows do. I could go on the news right now and let me see. I don't know when, you know, this episode's going to air a little while from now. So the headlines I'd bring up as an example are, you know, there's going to be dated by the time you hear it. But it's very easy just to be a headline chaser. It's really easy to go after the false sense of everything is doom and gloom all the time. Because sometimes it's not. Most of the time it probably is. But most of the time it's not. And when it comes to actually exaggerating the news, you know, sometimes there are actual existential threats or internal threats to our basic, you know, society and life. And that's why I want to bring up, you know, the most important thing that's threatening our country. You probably know what I'm about to say. According to CNN, it's this. At a White House reception several months ago, Trump got 2 scoops of ice cream. I know. Somebody probably just jumped out of their window. That's basically threatening our democracy. I mean, the world. We should bring up articles of impeachment just because of that. He got 2 scoops of ice cream. Everyone else got 1. We're done. Go ahead. This is how Bernie Sanders can still win. On a serious note, seriously, that was literally something I constantly bring up because people were talking about the Trump gets 2 scoops of ice cream thing for almost 4 months after it happened. Meanwhile, there are actual things that get by every day because either people don't care or can't bring the fake news media ratings or they just don't want to learn about it. Well, I've got a close group of friends that I go to when I want to learn about what's going on. You know, whether it's in the field of education or the surveillance state or gun rights, it's the folks over at Free the People. And one of them, as you know, because he was back on the show way back in season 1, he brought up something that I knew we were going to have to bring up again, because this was something that was actually going to essentially take us into the new age of digital communication. Whether it's, you know, surveillance, whether it's how we're going to have electronic warfare, when it comes to this type of stuff, it does absolutely terrify me. But before I get too ahead, let's go ahead and bring him on. In case you forgot, he's the man with a flowing mane that would make Thor jealous. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Josh Withrow from Free the People. Josh, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, Remzo. Thanks for having me on again.
So last time we spoke, we were discussing the whole issue with ICAN. We were discussing the updates of Patriot and the USA Freedom Act and everything else. We ultimately knew that Trump and Clinton, they weren't necessarily very different when it came to what was going on with the surveillance state. And ultimately, that was something that we seemed to have cared about as a country for like 5 minutes, and then we kind of ignored it. So any updates on that? Because I keep hearing stuff about something called Section 702. Apparently, there are going to be some stuff coming on that. I mean, ultimately, I see no real change coming from the Trump administration. And I hope there was, because he's been surpassing a lot of my expectations. But when it comes to this, it's really hard to find anything on the news about it.
Yeah, when it comes to the surveillance state, I mean, it's one of the things that seems to have never changed, starting especially from the administration of George W. Bush going forward. It's something that President Barack Obama, when he was running for office, promised to address. It's something that Trump actually said that he thought maybe should be addressed, although at the same time he was saying that, liberty kind of didn't really matter if it meant it kept us safe. And so what you're seeing is there are these amazing, super broad government surveillance programs that are supposed to be being used to keep us safe by spying on, I don't know, potential terrorists and people overseas who are trying to kill us. And what you're seeing instead is that the agencies that conduct these surveillance, primarily the NSA and then the FBI uses this information as well as the CIA and others, are at the same time that they are conducting a crucial mission, which is scanning through communications of terrorists and trying to stop plots and keep us safe, they're also taking every advantage of the opportunity to try to push the limits of those rules to collect massive databases of information on all Americans under the pretense that, well, you know, maybe we will need this information someday in order to actually keep you safe. But this pretense of a right to not having your information searched and seized without some sort of judicial process or a warrant is being completely blown away in the wake of these amazingly broad, massive surveillance programs that we only even know exist for certain because of people who are willing to risk everything to their careers to blow the whistle on the federal government.
So, long story short, they're still basically spying on us.
Yep, that's basically as far as it goes. And so the specific section of law that is at issue, that's going to come to be at issue this year, is called Section 702. And it sounds boring, and so people you might hear about it or referred to obliquely on the news, but probably you won't hear much about it at all, even though Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, blah, 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 it's a legislative speak, but it's set to expire at the end of this year unless Congress does something about it. And normally when these surveillance authorities come up for reauthorization, Congress gives them a blank check, or even worse, they like actually broaden the power of the government to steal our information without a warrant. And the reason why this is important now is that there's an actual real opportunity to have a debate and a discussion over what the authority of the federal government ought to be to peer into our private communications and our private lives. And if you're right, I'll take it just a second to kind of outline what this program actually does.
Go for it.
So Section 702, so you might remember we had a little debate over surveillance a couple of years ago, and there was this USA Freedom Act by Senator Mike Lee, and it was about the Patriot Act.
That got rid of the bulk metadata collection, right?
Kind of. It actually broadened the amount of metadata the government could have access to, but made it so they couldn't keep it as much. But anyways, not to get too into the weeds, Section 702 doesn't deal with metadata. It doesn't deal with information about our communications. It actually deals with our actual communications and activities themselves on the internet. We're talking any digital communication that travels over the internet cables. We're talking emails, browsing histories. We're talking about basically any activity that you conduct online. Section 702 is supposed to only apply to foreigners. It's called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. This particular section of the law was added in 2007, probably to legitimize activities that the government was already conducting in the wake of 9/11, but they needed to put a legal stamp on. And what happens is they literally put a tap – this is kind of amazing how this works. They put a tap into the actual backbone of the internet itself as it travels in fiber optic cables around the world, under the oceans and from continent to continent. And they can actually scan through all of the information that is traveling across those cables using certain search markers. It's supposed to be if Americans' data gets identified as being collected through whatever they're searching for, that data is supposed to be compartmentalized. It's supposed to not be allowed to be accessed without a warrant. There are supposed to be legal protections for Americans who might get caught up in this surveillance dragnet. What's actually happening, it appears, thanks to leakers from the NSA and others, is that this data is in fact actively being used by both the NSA in national security sense, but also by the FBI in the domestic sense, for investigations of things far beyond the scope of just terrorism, and without anything like a judicial process that you would expect for somebody who's snooping through your emails or your browsing history. And I would hope that would alarm most Americans who would probably maybe suspect that the government might be doing something like this, but not on this scale.
Yeah, and you know, I kind of want to talk a little bit more about that, but first we've got to hit our first commercial break. Folks, you're listening to The Remstar Republic with Josh Withrow from Free the People. Hang on tight, and we'll be back in a moment.
Let's make freedom fun again. Join the Remstar Republic on Patreon today.
Hey, that's really good.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remstar Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
It's time to shake up your podcast feed, folks, by subscribing to Lions of Liberty, the only libertarian variety show out there. Spend Mondays with me, Mark Claire, as I feature in-depth interviews with great names in the libertarian community and fun roundtable discussions.
Electric Liberty Land with me, Brian McWilliams, every Wednesday, your weekly dose of comedy, culture, and liberty.
And Felony Fridays with me, John Odermatt, where I expose injustice in the broken criminal justice system.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty, rock and roll.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want, when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back to the program. We're going to continue our conversation from earlier. Josh, you brought up the fact that, you know, a lot of the American population just might not necessarily care about this, even if they know that something is happening. And to that extent, I mean, that is a very valid question because, you know, I hear all these people arguing and complaining when the government is spying on them. But when it comes to places like Facebook and Google and Comcast and all these other malicious bros and hombres out there giving away your stuff to other corporations and to other entities, and most of the time it goes back to the CIA and other organizations, no one cares. So when Trump, Obama, Bush tap your phone, it's a problem. When Zuckerberg sees your search history and your messages and sells all your pictures to AT&T, it's not a problem. So is this, as Reince Priebus said, a giant nothing burger?
Hardly, because you see, the big difference, as I know you know, between these major digital companies like Google and Facebook that make their living off of collecting information and the government is that you don't have to use Google. You don't have to use Facebook. It might make your life a little less convenient if you don't use those things, but you're entering a voluntary agreement with these companies and what they do with the data from there, you're theoretically signing it away. Also, these companies can't use that data, the companies can't at least, to prosecute you or to marginalize you or to track you for nefarious purposes without potentially getting into major trouble themselves, whereas the government has routinely used surveillance information to keep an eye on groups, particularly political groups that don't match profiles that they like, particularly when it involves, dissent against the government. And also, law enforcement has access to this information. And in a society where there are literally tens of thousands of things that are crimes, they can use this information to essentially target people and essentially find something that somebody might be doing wrong that they might not even know they're doing wrong, and to attack them with data they couldn't have possibly accessed without spying on them without a warrant.
So, Josh, I want to kind of pivot for a second. Recently, I've been binging on, heroin for the libertarian soul, and I've been tuning into InfoWars probably more than my doctor would tell me.
Oh, God.
And because of that, I have this crazy conspiracy theory that every day I think about it, it's probably making a little bit more sense. But the deep state, when we talk about those unelected bureaucrats that no one will ever see or know that stay between every administration and it just seems that they never go away, they're in bed with the media, they're in bed with Hollywood, they're in bed with, the, as Bernie Sanders calls them, the 1%. It's this giant cabal of people that we'll probably never be able to name or see or know about. And when it comes to information like this, like we know that CNN, MSNBC, all those kooks, they're in bed with the Clintons, they're in bed with the progressives, they're in bed with the statists, the neocons, they're in bed with essentially the real life Hydra. Do you think there's a reason why these news networks aren't bringing this up? And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, they'd rather focus on Trump getting two scoops of ice cream than the fact that we have something this big coming up right around the corner and it actually affects our life.
Yeah, when the words deep state started actually entering mainstream news and the mainstream lexicon in the wake of Trump, initially I was a little encouraged that people were recognizing the idea that there were powerful people who were kind of unaccountable to the elected process in our government. And essentially, that's what the deep state is. It sounds really conspiratorial, and maybe I guess it can get that way, but I think there is a real life sort of deep state problem that America has that can actually be seen. It's not much of a conspiracy because it's not all that secret, really. That has to be acknowledged, and that's not crazy. It's not Alex Jones land. It's simply that many powerful individuals, both within and outside of the government, and the media, and the corporate world, and the financial world, and whatnot, have an outsized amount of influence over popular opinion, the media, and even public policy outcomes, and are unaccountable to the voters. These are not necessarily elected representatives. And I think this is the natural, inevitable result of a state that grows as large as ours has, where operators like this can have massive control without people ever really realizing it. And what I mean by this is that I don't mean that there's like a conspiracy, like necessarily the Bilderbergs that get together and like divvy up power over the entirety of the United States. That's not the kind of conspiracy or whatever I'm talking about here. I'm talking about sort of an attitude, a sort of governing attitude, where a lot of the sort of people who get into elite positions within both the private and public sector see it more beneficial to maintain standard of stability than to actually obey the processes of elected government and the demands of a democracy. And I think that that's always going to happen in any state that grows as out of control as our government has.
So is there anyone like really trying to promote this? Like, is there any actual journalist or news outlet or just anybody that's going to say, hey, America, this is happening? Because it's going to take a lot of effort and time and attention to bring up something to the American people that, one, they might be apathetic about, two, they might not necessarily be knowledgeable about, or three, they're just not going to hear it because even if they were exposed to it, they'd think it was just a giant conspiracy theory.
In terms of action items, things that people can do, I think that I don't think there's a single action item. I think that what you're up against is sort of an attitude. It's a sort of impenetrability that these people who are at these higher echelons of power feel like that they have, where they're not accountable and not really visible to anybody. And I think one of the ways, kind of looping back around to the surveillance state, that people simply demand that there actually be oversight over areas like, for example, national security. The NSA and their surveillance authorities are being done, quote unquote, for the greater good, as is often the case with, you know, many of the most intrusive public policies. And I think that in the case of Section 702, for example, the Congress is going to have to vote on whether or not to reauthorize these surveillance authorities. And I think that if enough people were to actually demand that there be an actual debate and that we actually have a conversation about what amount of our liberty is worth sacrificing in order to keep us with this illusion of safety, you might find that Congress is pretty easily pushed to actually enforce some limits on the security state, which is only one aspect of this sort of greater unaccountable bureaucratic deep state.
Josh, we're going to keep this conversation going, but first we're going to go ahead and hit our final commercial break a few minutes early so we have more time to discuss this. Folks, we'll be back in a moment.
We'll be back shortly.
Visit RemsoRepublic.com for all available content.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
They're hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
It's them yelling at you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over, engine trouble, and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Blogging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to LibertarianWingMedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
America, remember the good old days. You know, like Jeff Sessions remembers. He remembers when the government could just seize your property without even taking you to trial. He thinks that you must be a degenerate because good people don't smoke marijuana, you know, like Barack Obama, or a sexual pervert like William Jefferson Clinton. I remember America.
Jeff Sessions, taking your stuff because he wants it.
Hey everyone, welcome back. We're going to continue our conversation from earlier. you know, Josh, you mentioned that this whole thing is going to go right back to the Congress, and people can actually get involved in this. In terms of those on Capitol Hill that might already kind of be in the loop, I know you can't, you know, give a lot of details out about this, but, you know, right off the bat, I think you want to assemble the Liberty Avengers for the most part. You want to bring out the House Liberty Caucus, the House Freedom Caucus. Is there anyone that's on Capitol Hill in Congress, in the Senate, anybody out there that's actually going to be charging for this type of reform that we're talking about?
Yeah, you know, some of it is the usual suspects on the Liberty side. I mean, so Thomas Massie has been an absolute champion of this. Justin Amash has been an amazing champion of this. Rand Paul, I mean, basically held a filibuster on the Senate trying to get surveillance reforms in place. Mike Lee has had an interest to some extent in reining in the surveillance state. This has been a very bipartisan issue as well. There are some amazing Democrats who genuinely really care about having limits on limiting the surveillance state, and for a lot of the right reasons. Guys like Ron Wyden and Zoe Lofgren and Mark Pocan of Wisconsin, people who are pretty heavily progressive, but do seem to really understand the core danger of the government being able to surveil everything we do and how the government can use that to kind of suppress dissent. And all the one thing I'll say is that actually Congress has actually specifically voted for what would be a limited fix, but at least better than nothing, on 702 three times in the past 3 years. Congressman Massey and Lofgren and Poe in Congress have introduced amendments that have gotten voted on in Congress, and the amendments in the House, and they've passed twice by overwhelming bipartisan majorities. A third time it got voted on last year and failed by a very narrow margin, and the vote got taken on just a week after the Pulse nightclub shooting, when people were super paranoid about terrorism, and so the amendment that had passed 2 years in a row had failed. My point is that at least in the House side, there's a real ability and appetite to get Congress to take positive action to limit the government's authority to surveil us. And so with a little bit of public pressure, it's not impossible that we could get real surveillance reform this year.
That definitely fills me with a little bit of optimism. I'm a perpetual catastrophist. I'm not even a pessimist. I'm a catastrophist. And, you know, when I look back at the American people, because it's like, you know, we have these ideas, we have this solution to the problems we're facing. And then it's like, okay, let's go ahead and throw it back to just the regular Joe, you know, even just the listeners listening in right now, just throw it back to you. And then I see some people go for it, but overwhelmingly, you know, what really disappoints me is I'm a giant 1984 fan. Not that I'm promoting Big Brother, but, you know, the fact that when I look at dystopian novels and everything else, and, you know, I try and look at that cultural perspective that leads us into the fears that we think about at night. Nonetheless, just, you know, looking at the reality of what's going on. I was actually kind of happy when the left fell in love with Orwell after the 2016 election. But here you have a whole bunch of people and they're putting on, you know, different plays of 1984 and they're trying to say, think about the Trump administration, all this stuff. Here they are doing this, showing the problem with the mass surveillance state, showing the problem with, you know, newspeak and everything else and the media and what happens when your attention is diverted 30 million ways. It's like they're focusing on just very small details. But here you have an example of something which is straight up ripped out of 1984. It's so Orwellian in nature, nobody cares. Are you optimistic about this going further? Because, you know, you could have all the Massies and Pauls and Amashes and everyone you possibly can, but if the constituents, if the voters don't care, this won't go anywhere. I mean, are you hopeful?
I actually am, because, you know, one of the problems with this sort of issue, this issue of technological surveillance, is simply that a lot of folks don't really understand how it works and don't necessarily understand how it affects their lives. But you're starting to see more cases where it gets made more obvious to them. You had Snowden leaking just the vast scale of this, and that really got people pretty fired up. You had little things like the stupidity surrounding all of these leaks around you know, Trump and whether he communicated with the Russians. And you had people within the national surveillance state leaking apparently classified information that they were probably probably accessing and releasing illegally. But the fact that you're even able to do that, the fact that our government is actually harvesting and collecting this information without a warrant or without probable cause, it has, I think, has really turned people on to the danger of a government that collects and knows everything and can just kind of go fishing. You know, when they where they can kind of just go investigating to see what they've got on you. That's a really scary thought when you don't trust your government. And I think it's become pretty clear in the past couple presidents that no matter what side of the aisle that you're on, you should be pretty damn careful what sort of powers that you give to your chief executive and your security state, because, you know, all it takes is one guy to be willing to actually use it to its fullest potential. And you go from a situation where we're at now to something like Venezuela, where they're literally have Cubans monitoring social media for various communications and throwing people in prison based on electronic surveillance. I mean, that's the extent of what this can get to. It can suppress entire freedom movements within a country. And, you know, I think particularly the younger generation is aware of that. And I think that's only going to become more acutely apparent as technology gets broader and as time goes on.
Yeah. And, you know, to kind of wrap things up, I do have a comment about that. You know, I bring up Orwell a lot. And in this situation, it's not even that Orwell was writing 1984 because he was a libertarian. Orwell was a socialist. He was just afraid of fascists. And right now we have all these people within the deep state leaking all of this damning information, not because they're doing it as an indictment against the state. They're doing it because they don't like Donald Trump. So do you think people are going to start bridging that connection? Or is it, oh, well, if Hillary was doing it, well, it's okay because she's behind the wheel. Or the next, you know, kleptomaniac, you know, crazy crackpot collectivist that wants to occupy the White House next.
I actually think this this sort of connection with obviously some of these leaks have been made specifically to undermine Donald Trump. I think the connection of this with partisanship actually takes people's eye off the real ball and is kind of dangerous, because at the end of the day, what sort of the bureaucratic state and the national security state tends to be, you know, unconsciously supporting all the while is more stability of its power than partisan politics, although obviously that does enter into it. But to ascribe to the deep state a partisan motive, like they're just going after Trump because he was a Republican, I think is a mistake. I think they were going after Trump as much because he was actually saying things that threatened sort of the established order of things, the way he was trying to appoint people to the National Security Council, for example. I think they were going after him as much, you know, to defend their own positions and their own stability, or maybe a perception that he was threatening overall national security norms, than a partisan attack. And I think that's important to keep in mind, that no matter what party's in charge of the White House or Congress or whatever, you know, sort of the essence of the state, which is power, will always defend itself against anybody that threatens it from whatever side.
There you go. Absolutely right. Josh, we've got to wrap things up. If people want to get in touch with you, Free the People, Conservative Review, all the great work you're doing, how could they do so?
I'm certainly happy to always entertain people's contacts at jwithrow@freethepeople.org, and check out our work on freethepeople.org. And also, my boss, Matt Kibbe, has stuff that we release on Conservative Review through crtv.com.
Outstanding. Josh, thank you so much, as always, letting us know what's actually going on when it comes to what's happening on the Hill. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Remso.
Folks, you heard the man. This is something that's going to – there's going to have to come a breaking point. I hope it's not bloody, and I hope it doesn't happen anytime soon. But, you know, he brought up the one biggest thing. The partisanship is going to blind us. The problem isn't he's doing it or she's doing it. The problem is people can do that in the first place. I mean, it's dangerous. It's scary. And it's going to have to take an understanding that ultimately government is a mechanism of violence. And if you wouldn't feel comfortable with Joe Schmo holding a giant weapon, I highly doubt he's going to feel comfortable with you holding that much power too. Maybe no one should have that much force to begin with, when it comes to dictating, controlling, surveilling, and ultimately holding the lives of millions of people in their hands. But maybe that's just a crazy thought because I've been listening to too many InfoWars. That's for you to decide. And hopefully, if you are kind of on the side of this, go ahead and, I don't know, leave us a rating and review on iTunes. 5 stars and a good review helps us trend, helps get this message out there from folks like Josh, Logan, Terry, and Matt, and others at Free the People, and all our other fantastic guests. Because if the answer isn't liberty, then the answer is wrong. As always, find us on, you know, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. Special shout out to those listening through Deplorable Radio. And as always, be good to your neighbor, go treat yourself. And, you know, just take the time to do the right thing. I'm Remso. Oh, so many recordings this day. I'm Remso W. Martinez. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?